Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. for approximately an hour, maybe a few minutes more, depending on the generosity of management here. And in the studio, Alex Solis returns. Augie, ever the contrarian, is here. All you have to do is listen for, I don't know, what, 10, 15 seconds, Alex?
No, you never guess that from me.
Yes, he's all sunshine and lollipops and puppy dogs.
You're such a downer, Augie. You always are. It's so sad. It's so sad. What is that? There's a play where they steal the children and the Chinese are stealing children. And there's one scene.
Are they doing that again?
Yeah, they are. What is the play? You know what the play is.
No, I thought the Chinese were really stealing children.
No, this is, well, I'm sure. Well,
yeah, they must. We caught them once before.
They're probably. It's probably happening in Saudi Arabia or something like that. But what kind of children do? Anyway, there's one.
The North Koreans and the Russians and the Chinese and the Saudi Arabians are churning the children market with millions. They take a million children and they create a 100 million children transaction. If you don't know what we're talking about, just go to the first part of this show.
It's called a child coin. Or kid coin. It's a kid coin.
It's an ICO. It's an initial child offering. All right, this is getting very bad very soon. Alex, before we get into the news, Digital Investments or Digital, what's the name of the company? Tell us the whole thing.
It's Solis Digital Assets.
And that's available to information on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm currently still working on the website. My Facebook page is Solis Digital Assets, and we have offer great current cryptocurrency information and consulting.
Much like this show does. All you have to do is, just open your ears.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, it wouldn't be a show about cryptocurrency if you weren't talking about how governments and corporations are trying to control it. But in a positive note, the head of the International Monetary Fund believes that cryptocurrencies may give traditional government issues runs, quote, a run for their money. I wonder if she intended the pun there.
A run on run, right?
Yeah. Anyway, speaking at a conference in London, IMF Chief Christine Lagarde told attendees that she thinks, quote, it may not be wise to dismiss virtual currencies. Going way out on a limb on that one.
Christine Lagarde to say that from the conventional side of anything is a pretty potent comment.
And probably one of the most positive ones that we've examined in the last few weeks of this show here. Notably, she outlined possible scenarios in which a country, particularly those, quote, with weak institutions and unstable national currencies, Venezuela, Zimbabwe,
Greece,
might actually embrace one more directly. Instead of adopting the currency of another country, such as the U.S. dollar, some of these economies might see a growing use of virtual currencies, call it dollarization 2.0, or maybe Bitcoinization. But I also saw a lot of the advocates of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general, they talk about the finite number and preventing inflation. But actually on the Zimbabwe Bitcoin exchange is trading at an 80% premium. It's trading $7,200. Some people on this show in the past have talked about arbitrage, and they don't really talk about it in the conventional sense. But the conventional sense was if you had a way of buying Bitcoin on a non-Zimbabwean exchange and then moving it to the Zimbabwe exchange, I don't know what they must be using U.S. dollars if it's trading at $7,200, or they must be trading some other cryptocurrency that you could convert back to dollars.
They've got a basket of currencies. That has to be what's going on there. And with China being the big player, ultimately, Japan is wanting to contend with that and to legitimize this. So somewhere in there, there's a basket of supporting currency and maybe gold, depending if they are parked. I mean, like Russia has... bought, I think, at one point of the available gold market. They had Putin, I think, bought of the available gold market at the time 2/3 of it, and he parked it, and it's sitting in the background.
So what's Solis Digital Assets doing on the Zimbabwe exchange?
So this is what I've been thinking about. Really, really hard to do. You can buy, say, you buy ETH or Bitcoin, you know, for $100, and then on American exchange, and then you can go and sell it on Zimbabwe exchange easily. Everybody's doing it. It's totally illegal, but it's legal right now because there's no regulation. But I've seen it done, and I've been really thinking about doing it. It's just that
on the Zimbabwe exchange.
I don't know. I haven't seen the Zimbabwe exchange, but you can put it on any exchange. Like all the prices are different. Like Bittrex, the Poloniex, and all them. You could just move your coins back and forth, and sell them on there and make a killing.
Because like back in the 90s, when I went back to school for a different profession, and I took my international finance class, the arbitrage was to grab like 10 cents. Because there was a difference between the Swiss franc, the Japanese yen, and the U.S. dollar, and with these newfangled computers that were doing in 1995, 96, they could instantly make that trade and snap that 10 cents or 15 cents and act like, well, and they were making a great return because they were measuring the return on investment in seconds. I remember that was just as a quick side, I think it was some research company that you would have seen on CNBC came to speak to us in the regular finance class to talk about how their research company worked in Venice. They were a global company, but they had set up shop in Venice, and they talked about their great computer program. And somebody asked them about the computing capacity, and he said, "Oh, man. You don't ever have to worry about us and all these calculations we're doing. We got 3 gigs of memory." For the company.
All right. For perspective, what does that mean today?
Well, that's like that would be a phone from about 10 years ago. Yeah, your phone. Well, I don't know about your phone.
No, you don't know about my phone.
So this phone would probably have 20 times the computing power of what they were giving financial advice to the biggest players in the country and around the world. But that was the state of the art back then. We had something called Prodigy and AOL. You got mail, all that stuff. Can you even remember that, Alex?
I was like 8 years old. I've never had a Yahoo. You got mail, none of that.
What was your first? Where was your first email account?
It was email.com.
And were you in the U.S. or were you in Puerto Rico?
No, I was in the U.S. I've never been to Puerto Rico. Half my family's there, half is in New York.
Okay. Where were you born?
In New York, the great state of New York. Greatest state in America.
Great state of Mexico.
All the superstars come from New York. Just look at the president.
Sure. Did you say stupid stars? Oh, I'm sorry. Misunderstood.
Or celebrities, I should say, maybe.
That's one of the more accurate things you said.
Celebrities. There you go.
All the talent. The talent. That's the best word.
You're slipping again. So anyway, we have the IMF president. Or chief, rather, saying that they could have dollarization 2.0. What happened when we used to control the IMF, Augie? They wouldn't say stuff like that back then.
There's a lot more control, and the problem is the Google's being looked at for control, and this is going to be right behind it. This is a move that's happening.
First they're going to take our money, and they're going to take our search engine.
They're going to take all that. You know, it's all going to go away in happy times.
One of the blips this week on the roller coaster ride that every week happens with your cryptocurrency pricing was South Korea's financial regulator has prohibited domestic companies and startups from participating in initial coin offerings. Now, this isn't shutting down of the exchanges, although there was an interesting development on that. Following a meeting to discuss cryptocurrency controls today, which was Thursday, the Financial Services Commission said it will prohibit all forms of blockchain funding method, regardless of technical terminology. And this one actually speaks greater to what we talked about in the first half hour, while margin trading of virtual currencies will also be illegal. So, and that margin trading, for those that people don't know, if you were in the stock market and say you had 100 shares of Google in a margin account, you could, without any extra cash, you could buy another 100 shares of Google on margin. You can usually buy 50% more than or 100% more, to how you're doing the calculation. You'd be margin 50%.
So
if you have $1 million, you can buy $2 million of stocks. If you have $10,000, you can buy $20,000 of stock. So if you are on a cryptocurrency exchange that allows you to do margin trading, you can take 10,000 of Bitcoin and buy another 10,000 of Bitcoin without putting any money in or any other kind of asset of value into your account. And that really is one of the things that increases the volatility, because the other side of that is if you drop below your margin percentage, all of a sudden the exchange will start selling you. In fact, back early when we started doing the show that day, the Ethereum went from 310 down to 16 cents in a few minutes and back up again. It was because someone had placed a $12.5 million sell order on the, I believe it's the GDX.
Is that Jamie Dimon?
Well, you could. He would certainly have the wherewithal to do it.
He did do something later on.
But, you know, $12.5 million just 4 months ago was enough to crash a market down to 16 cents, because what happened, to get to $12.5 million, all the market makers, or the market maker, had to start taking, because evidently there wasn't a limit order, limit price on the sell. You know, people started selling at whatever pricing, and then the stop loss orders came in for, again, with the stock market comparison. You might have a stock at $100 and you put a stop loss on it at $80. So even if you're not paying attention, the price goes to 80, it'll automatically sell. So all of a sudden now all these stop losses are triggering. Then on top of that, you had all these margin calls, and the next thing you know, something that was worth $300 is down to 16 cents until everybody starts flying into it to buy it back up.
So on that connection, remind everybody of the conversation about Jamie Dimon.
Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase, who has on now numerous occasions, it goes back in history, but numerous occasions just in 2 weeks, went out publicly, called Bitcoin a fraud, I think he called it a bubble also. You might even use the whole tulip analogy. And in the meantime, his company was placing orders on a European stock exchange for their clients, buying it up after the price went down. They say they had no proprietary interest in the purchases, but on the other hand, they are all working on blockchain patents to implement in their own business, and I believe they're also hosting a blockchain cryptocurrency summit for their high-level investors and executives.
A little cynicism there, Henry.
Yeah.
I don't see how he got away with that, because he just...
Well, if he was talking about a publicly traded company, he would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
Talking about the...
But it ain't a publicly traded company.
Yeah, the shadow world. Anyway, so the South Korea's outlawed margin trading. There are other measures are likely to impact, and we'll be following those in the future, trying to get through some of this other things. Speaking of South Korea, but at the same time, they're becoming an Ethereum powerhouse in the rapidly growing number of projects that are being developed for Ethereum and the way it's going to change the world and how things happen here. They held the biggest Ethereum meetup in history there this past week with speakers from Casper Plasma and Omasigo. That one that you featured a few weeks ago on the show, but the most interesting person and the most important person was the Ethereum co-founder Vitalik Buterin, who spoke to the group. And in the course of that, he said that Ethereum's main benefits are its generality and its utility in many kinds of industry. There's applications, finance, identity, supply chain tracking, goes on. As a result, it's being designed as a general purpose programming platform. And we try and touch here, but we don't really get through. I haven't found the words to break through on how different the world is going to be soon. It's almost as like if I was in 1990 trying to explain to people what the year 2000 was going to be like with the Internet, or if I was in the year 2000 trying to explain to what people are going to be walking down the street staring at this thing and then palming their hand and touching it and interacting it with more than people, like a cell phone.
I think satellite phones are where things are moving quickly, and Puerto Rico is really pointing that up.
On the other side, Japanese financial service agency issued operating license to 11 Bitcoin exchanges. So here's a place where regulation is being implemented and rolled out. 11 exchanges got licenses. On the other hand, there were several that just decided not to work for it anymore. They gave up on their application. 12 firms have closed their application process, while 17 are still in review. So that would seem to me to be a healthy situation, just from this external, distant view.
I brought the satellite thing up because of Puerto Rico, because it's obvious it's the only thing they've got. Is cell towers are all down for the most part, and relying on the computers without electricity is a real headache. So your communications are going to be absolutely crucial. How you maintain communication to do any kind of business, let alone live, is a big part of this. And when you have the unknown scrubber coming out of the sky, wiping out your civilization, it happened to be Puerto Rico, but it could just as well have been Miami Beach. And so this whole situation we're in, Henry, making money and off of money, is going to have some serious looks, and adults are going to have to come into play. I mean, we see the retired General Honoré, which we talked about before, coming in to tell people what they need to do from history, because his history was Katrina and before. So we really have a very immature society, whatever age people are. We are not up to understanding the nature of the beast.
Well, on that note, or maybe on a similar note, we are seeing some individuals in the U.S. government, surprisingly perhaps in the Trump administration, with pretty progressive ideas about this. The acting controller of the currency, who I don't want to turn this just into a slam Trump show, but I wonder if he even knows who the acting controller of the currency in the Treasury Department in his administration is, said he is open to the idea that a new breed of banks might one day conduct business in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Speaking at an event hosted by the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia, Keith Noriega, the newly named director of the agency tasked with supervising all national banks, went so far as to state publicly that he foresees a future in which Bitcoin companies might be granted fintech charters, a proposed license designed to simplify the way new startups and business cross state borders. Currently, Bitcoin companies and traditional money transmitters need to comply with a complicated network of regimes in 50 states. We've talked about some of those states as they've brought different regulations online, if you're a regular listener to the show. Well, this would be something that would eliminate the need for that that fractionalization of the regulations and put it just like a national bank under the control of the Treasury Department.
Yeah, it's difficult to trust people who think the Wild West was a good place. The Wild West is where people died. We're pretty innocent people. We're trapped. Even the history of the Mormons is an example of that, if you know the history of the Mormons, how they stalked people coming across the plain to steal their cattle from them because they had a nice green pasture and a nice place to come and live, two-thirds of the way on the way to California. So when people are out in this vast Wild West situation in terms of economics, which is what this is, a Wild West, thinking you can make money quickly, it's a dangerous place.
Well, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency was created in 1863 to talk about Wild West or chaos, or in our case, the Civil War, as some of the people demonstrating around these Confederate monuments say, the War of Northern Aggression. But anyway, it was created in 1863 to help subjugate the state currencies that were taking root. So in the midst of the Civil War, we had the northern states and, of course, the southern states that were trying to create their own currency. All right, so anyway, we have an opening there for that to happen. And then just to wrap it up, the U.S. Federal Agency oversees the country's credit union is seeing an opportunity for credit unions to get into blockchain and cryptocurrency. And just to show again, Trump administration, blockchain working with U.S. State Department. So we have a world that's changing. And we will follow it in the weeks to come here on Henry Raines Show with Augie and Alex Solis and whoever else can
come to high noon and have
come virtually appear here virtually. Any closing thoughts, Alex? Anything you want to make? Oh, you had a cryptocurrency you wanted to tell us about. We have time for that.
All right, well, this is a big one. This is one called AdEx. The spelling for their name is A-D-E-X, and the symbol is A-D-X. Now, this is probably going to be in the top five cryptocurrencies to survive, and one of the ones that go from 10 cents to the 400, 500, or to thousands. It's already went from 15 cents to $1.20, and within 2 weeks of that.
When was it introduced?
This was introduced in August, July and August.
Of this year?
Yes. And this crypto right now, what it does is it's going to be for the advertisements on the internet. What happened was the TV internet, nobody's investing in TV ads no more. They switched over to the internet ads. So most of the revenue now is going to internet ads. It's only going to grow even more. And with the problem is now with the internet ads is like you have bots that'll click it 100 times, and then you know the advertiser has to pay for that when it was artificial. It was artificial
manipulation.
Yeah, manipulation. So this is
like churning the ad, like we talked about churning a trade.
Yeah, yeah, this ends all of that because it's going on like insane now, and this will help other.
Let's slow down and take a look at that for just a second. But I want to go back to something you said earlier because sometimes you get enthusiastic about some of the things you say.
I'm so pumped up.
So yeah, and I said I think I heard you say you thought this would be one of the top five.
Yes, it actually
yeah,
is.
So, but let's look. That means it would be in the company of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Ripple. There's four right there. I'm not even including Bitcoin Cash. Who's getting kicked out of the top 10 to make way for this currency?
The thing that people don't realize is that, like me and other top traders, I'm not the top trader in the world, but I speak to some top traders. I want to be. But the thing is that we all know that Litecoin's not going to make it. There's certain cryptocurrencies, they're waste. You know, it's not against people investing them. It's a great thing to trade, but in 10 years, who's going to need a Litecoin? You know, we already have Bitcoin. We need these companies like Amis Go. They're just already doing transactions with McDonald's. Like, if you buy something at McDonald's in Thailand and you look at your credit card statement, you'll see the Amis Go payment system there already. So those are people you want to invest in. You don't want to invest in something that's just there. I noticed this from studying really, really hard. I noticed that not 90% of cryptocurrencies are worthless. They're pointless. They're all copies. Vitalik has backed me up on this. The ETH founder, he said the same thing. And to me, the ones to invest in are the ones who have great advisors, great companies behind them, and who actually have a real world case use and actually can benefit the world, not just to profit off them and make money. Because Bitmain is an investor in AdEx.
Well, let me be the contrarian. I'm not going to play Augie's theme music, though. But you're talking about cryptocurrencies that have a specific function.
Yes.
And you're talking about the top five currencies. Ripple is adopted by, I don't know, how many international banks and is being used for a certain function there. But the other ones are the ones that are supposed to be stores of values that can be exchanged as regular currencies. Ethereum, it has the programmable aspect, so that's separate. But for something to actually be used broadly as a cryptocurrency, as opposed to the ones that you're talking about with the stated function-specific uses, it has to be scalable into something in the trillions of dollars and has to function quickly in that. Leonard Lopen, if he was here, would probably be able to speak to this very clearly for us. But, you know, that's what SegWit was about in SegWit 2X and the Lightning Network is to get these things that you're saying will disappear to where they can function at that level in the number of transactions that the U.S. dollar does or the Japanese yen does. So why are you discounting that aspect of cryptocurrency?
We all have to ask ourselves, what makes a crypto the top five? The market value, which is pointless. All it means is that this was the most popular one. Everybody's throwing their money into it. Doesn't mean it could be a pump and dump. It could fail.
What is the how will people use cryptocurrency to transact trillions of dollars a day, a month, a week with the ones you're looking at?
As opposed
to the Bitcoins or even the Bitcoin Cash or the Litecoin or one of these other ones.
Well, for example, let's say we have 1,000 cryptocurrencies. I've on the CoinMarketCap, probably 800 of them do the same thing. They all do the transaction. So now you have Litecoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash. That's already three that do the same thing. So one of those three, or maybe those three, will only last. But it's like you have 20 restaurants. all 20 restaurants are not going to make it. Only maybe two of them on the block will be there for 100 years. You know, all 20 will start. You know, maybe they'll have, you know, fanfare for maybe the first year, but they're going to die out. They're pointless. If you have 20 restaurants, you only need two. You know, just we have Visa, MasterCard. We don't have Visa, MasterCard, Alex, Augie, this, doom, 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 doom. We don't have 120 different systems.
What about the thing that's happening now with atomic swaps and the ability to trade these currencies back and forth from peer to peer, individual to individual without an exchange? And the ones that are adapting for that, where are you doing anything with those?
Like, that's going to be great. That's going to be great for the transactions where you have, like, a debit card, you have a Bitcoin debit card, and you pay, you know, into an Ethereum wallet. That's going to be great because you could basically pay in anything, you know, which is good. But the thing is, it's not that cryptocurrency is not going to make it as a currency. It's just that 90% of them are not going to make it. So the thing is, to in order to invest safely and to stay out of the internet bubble, you have to really, really look at who's got the backing, who's got the mission, who's got the team. You know,
and that's why you go to Solis Digital Investments on Facebook.